We're still talking about mind renewal. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 11. 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. This is Apostle Paul teaching. And I believe besides Jesus, he had an understanding about mind renewal better than anybody that I have studied in the Bible. Because he understood the mind of Christ. And he urged us to become that way so that we won't lose sight of where we're supposed to be and what we're supposed to do and how we're supposed to respond in every situation. Are you there? 2 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 3. But I fear lest by any means, as a serpent beguiled Eve through his subtlety, so your minds should be corrupted. Somebody say corrupted. From the simplicity that is in Christ. And that is so true. Now turn to 2 Timothy. I'm going to read my scriptures before I say what I want to say. 2 Timothy chapter 3. Y'all know me. This is not all my scriptures, but we just getting there. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 8. Hallelujah. Now, as Jannes and Jambres withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. See, we're living in a dispensation where the truth is no longer accepted. People rather hear a lie than the truth. That's a mind condition. They have been brainwashed over time. They've been brainwashed. This is why you can't listen to the news. Because those people are brainwashed, and they think some of them know they're lying. But some of them think they're right in what they're saying. And then you can tell a lie so long that you'll start believing the lie. And you'll forget what the truth is all about. Because, you know, people tell their lie about their age so long that they forget the real age. Don't be that kind of person. We know you ain't 35 no more. Okay, let's look at 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 5. See, it's about our mind. It's a mind condition. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 5. Perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds and destitute of the truth, supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. What is he saying? Because most people think, you got to be careful that you don't have this kind of mindset in the body of Christ, that you equate truth with how much money you have. Because the world says, because you got a lot of money, you must be telling the truth. That's never equated correctly. But people follow people, even with their corrupt minds, because they have money. And money is an influencer in our society. You don't have to have truth. You just got to have money. The Bible called them corrupt minds. I don't know what you're trying to name them, but we're not going to do that. Let's look at 2 Peter. Are you seeing where this thing is going? Because if we don't get our mind straight, we're going to fail at a lot of stuff that we shouldn't be failing at. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you in both, which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that you be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets and of the commandment of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. I want to read that out, the Passion Translation. It says, beloved friends, this is now the second letter I have written to you in which I have attempted to stir you up and awaken you to a proper mindset. So never forget both the prophecies spoken by the holy prophets of old and the teaching of our Lord and Savior spoken by your apostles. Above all, verse 3, you must understand that in the last days, mockers will multiply, chasing after their evil desires. Does that look like our today? It does seem like there's no limit. And it's as to how much evil they want to show you or do unto mankind to destroy your very fiber, because they're after your mind. See, all this stuff, and I know you said you're going back to that. Yes, the pandemic was how they introduced all the mess you're seeing right now. Because everybody got scared, stayed indoors, backed in a corner, and we let them do this. Now the believer got to rise up. Because the only way we're coming out is we got to stay strong in this word. And we got to fill our mind up with what God said. Because if you go to the media, they're saying a whole lot of stuff. And I mean, that's on the good side and the bad side. Everybody's saying something. But what does God say? It's like I told you last week. You can't start a meat market in your backyard. What you gonna do? They're already predicting we're gonna have food shortages. And what you gonna do? It's a mind renewal issue. It's not about a supply issue. I'm trying to help you. It's not a supply issue. It is a mind renewal issue. And we need to attend to this speedily. Why? Because the mind is the battleground. This is where the devil attempts to defeat you. Every battle you win, every battle you lose is going to be done in your mind. And your body will demonstrate it. The devil's number one tactic is to convince you that God's way is incomplete or not enough. Now, we saw that in Genesis chapter 3, because he convinced Eve that God's way was not enough, that there was something left out. And you got to be careful that people are not trying to groom you to believe that God is not supplying your need. You got to be careful how you have these inner house conversations. Because those inner house conversation is going to breed either wealth or poverty. Because it's a mind situation. It's not a supply. There is no shortage. Come on, say that. There is no shortage. Say it again. There is no shortage. See, it's a mind renewal. You got to renew your mind to the word. God says, I meet your need. I am your shepherd. And you don't lack anything because I'm your shepherd. I look out for you. I'm watching over my word to perform it. Will you believe my word? Because the devil's going to try to make you think that the word is not supplying what you need. Because we're in this push now. Now, you may never meet the devil head on, but you will meet him in your mind. Because that's where he fights, in your soulish realm. He can't attack your spirit. He have no access. But he will try to destroy you through you with your own words. That's his tactic, divide and conquer. So we see that the devil has plans to destroy people. And we got to stop acting like our thoughts, what I think, doesn't matter, because they do. Because our thoughts, the thoughts that we allow to shape us, must be shaped, must be formed from the word of faith found in the word of God. See, it's in your choice and my choice as to what we subject our soul to. I can't choose what you subject your soul to. I can suggest some things, but you decide what my soul listen to, what my soul decide to do, how my soul will have or not have. You're deciding that, not God. Listen to me. God not deciding your shortage. You decided your shortage. God not even deciding your increase. You're deciding your increase. Because to give and then don't expect no return, you're deciding how much you're going to get back. God trying to get more to you, and you keep telling him, or you keep saying the dumb prayers. Well, Lord, if it be thy will, and Lord, you know the time is, and we living in a desperate time, and everything is short, 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 besides people, everybody short. But if you pray that way, if you talk that way and think that way, that's what you're going to get in your house. You cannot get anything else. See, it's not what you say to me when you're in these walls right here. It's what you say every day. It's just kind of like when we teach your children at home, those that homeschool, you know, you got a better handle on your children than those who don't, because now the society has your child for 8 hours a day, and you don't know what they're training your child. If they have their way, you won't even have parental rights as long as they're in the building, because that's what they're pushing for. You won't even be able to go to school and overlook your child anymore. That's what they're pushing for all those who want socialism. See, it's just not a green deal. It has nothing to do with the land. The whole thing is about socialism. So if you plan on signing for the green deal, you're planning against God. And I'm just letting you know. And I'm not afraid or ashamed. You're signing your life against God. So what you're saying, the government make more sense than God. We've always had climate change. That's why we got four seasons. It's the dumbest thing you ever heard in your life. Now you want billions of dollars to study climate change. Go study the Bible. You don't need, you can pay $30 for a good Bible and go home and read the word and get truth. See, that deal is not about what you think it's about. It's not about saving our land and getting rid of waste and all that trash they talk about. No, it's not. It's about introducing and turning over this nation. The socialism. But if we don't rebuild and reset our mindset to the word of God, we're not going to be on alert for that. We'll just follow suit. Because that's the plan of the enemy. Because it's our choice what we subject our minds to. When you go home and you watch them ungodly shows, that's your choice. But don't expect to have no power when you walk away from that. Because it doesn't work like that. Your mind said, then you try this, something happened. Suppose one of your child fall out in the floor and you scared, and then you got to call everybody in town because you know your routine has been out of order. You have not renewed your mind. You don't pray enough in a week that you can cast out a demon or you can cause healing to come. See, y'all not living right because your mind not right. You're living as though you are it and ain't nobody that's got, you don't have nothing else to do but just swallow me up. You're supposed to be living your life unto Christ so that he can get the benefit of his death through you. Not hiding in the house. Not playing the games that the world play and all in the name of being Jesus. Come on. We're going to have to do something. People, we got to do something because Jesus is soon to come back. But this is a mind issue because every temptation is in your mind. Every failure is in your mind. Every lie that you believe is in your mind. Every truth that you accept is because your mind received it. So it can get to you, the spirit man. This is why you must reset your soul, because the spirit man depends on your soul to accommodate the will of God through it. But if it's fighting against the will of God can't get done. Because the soul controls what? The body. Woo. And another thing the Lord was sharing with me, he said, as a child of God, you must stop worrying. Worrying is a mind or the unrenewed mind issue. Listen, the problem is not what's happening in our land, but Christians worrying about what is happening instead of standing up against it and causing change. We're worrying. We're sitting home worrying. Ooh, Jesus. Instead of renewing our mind and becoming strong in the Lord, we're worrying. Fear will make you cower down in the face of the enemy and surrender to his tactics, because that's the plan. That's what the pandemic did. It rerouted almost every Christian in America mindset and turned it a different direction. And even though they have cut out the mandates, people still feel more comfortable obeying what was never should have been a law. Because it didn't help nobody. It was all a lie. The vaccinated and the unvaccinated got COVID. So it was a lie. Whether you had the mask on or not, it was all a lie. The whole thing was a lie. It was perpetrated so that we could stop having services, because the Bible decreed that we must fellowship. Why? Because you get strengthened. And it's hard to strengthen somebody over the TV. You need one-on-one fellowship. Look at all the people that have never gone back to church. In some churches right now, they're not even having a whole service like ours. They're still having just a little Bible study group. They're not having full services yet. Now, we're talking about 2 years. What happened to most of the congregation? See, it's a mind issue. It has nothing to do with what's happening. It's what we decided to believe. So if I'm worrying about what's happening, then I'm not going to push against it. Because you know why? Your faith won't work when you're worrying. I had to tell you the truth. Your faith not working. If you're sitting home worrying and looking at the news and you're worrying about what's happening, your faith is not working. Hebrews 11:6 says that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Okay, so now, if I'm not interested in pleasing God, then I know I'm out of faith. Because one of your number one things should be to please God. First, as your priority, is to please him. But if I've lost my desire to please God, I don't have any faith. My faith not working. Ooh, Jesus. See, the devil knows this, even if you don't know it. He knows that when you decide to worry, your faith will not work. And he gives us something to worry about every day. Even when they suggest something is getting better, they always put on the tail end, but this could change and get worse. That's why I don't listen to them. I told you all, if you need news update, go to Victory Channel. You're a believer. You don't need to hear the world tell you. They're going to tell you what's right and what's wrong. I trust the news there. I listen to Flashpoint. I don't listen to nothing on the regular channels, not even the weather. I just hit Alexa, Alexa, how's the weather? And I can bypass all that lie. All I want is the weather. I don't need to hear that guy telling me we might have a tornado and then next week we're not in tornado nowhere near. See, it's just to keep us stirred up in fear. And then they're going to make sure, you know, a tornado hit this state over there and did that. That don't have nothing to do with me. I'm concerned about those people. But I'm not going to sit down and worry about a tornado coming to my city based on what he said. And it turned out to just be a rain, a heavy rain that I'm going to sleep through. I don't worry about stuff like that. When I get into bed, unless the Lord wake me up, I'm gone. I am sleeping. I can't go to bed worried and full of stuff. Now, the word worry means to be pulled in different directions. You're being pulled because you're undecided. See, worry keeps you in an indecisive position where you're not really making a decision. You're just living through something, but you're being pulled in all kind of directions. The Bible talks about a double-minded person. And then another definition for it is to strangle. See, that's what worry does. It strangles your faith. It chokes the word of faith right out of you. That's what worrying does. James chapter 1, verses 7 and 8 speaks of a double-minded person being unstable. See, they're not dependable because they're in church, they're praising God. At home, they're complaining and they're worrying. That's an unstable person. You cannot trust what they say or do. Listen, I'm not trying to get y'all mad with somebody. I'm just trying to tell you better know what you're doing or who you're hanging out with, because you might be hanging out with an unstable person and don't even know it, because at home they're talking defeat and poverty, but around you they might be talking right stuff, and you try to figure out, well, why, you know, we get in agreement and we say we pray and nothing ever, because you might be dealing with an unstable person. But the Bible says, look at James, let's just read it for yourself. Look at James chapter 1. Then you don't have to take my word if you don't want to believe me. James chapter 1, verse 7. Let's read out the Bible. Now, you call God alive if you want to. You that big and bold, go ahead. James chapter 1, verse 7. Watch this. Go back up to verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that give it to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. But let him do what? Asking what? Asking what? And nothing what? Wavering. And nothing wavering. Huh. So in other words, he says, you got to go to God in confidence. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea driven with the wind and tossed. That means that person is like like my flag when we had the wind. It's just blowing back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. And you can see my flag just going back and forth, back and forth. That's the way an unstable Christian is, because their mind is not renewed to the things of God yet. And an imbalance is always present when your mind is not renewed. Look at verse 7. For let not that man think. Say, don't even try. Don't even begin to think you're going to get anything from the Lord when you're worried, when you're full of fear, doubt. And he says, all right, let me read it this way. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything, say anything, of the Lord. Let's see what, and then it says, verse 8, a double-minded man is unstable in all his way. Didn't say a few ways. That person is unstable in everything they do. Because they're going to float whichever way conditions go. You're not going to get them to stand on the word and be solid. Here's something you might did. I thought this was cute. Worry is the interest you pay on trouble that is coming. I'll say it again. Worry is the interest you pay on trouble that is coming. So it's interest that you pay up front. How many of you know, if you got a home on a mortgage, they satisfy the interest before they really attack your principal. So at every payment you send, quite a bit of it goes to the interest, and then so much of it is applied to your principal. Because they're going to satisfy the interest, because they're going to get their money out for loaning before they start paying the debt off. That's what worry does. It extracts your faith before trouble ever comes. See, these are mind issues. Say, these are mind issues. See, worrying is demanding that trouble show up. It's putting a demand on you. Worrying is putting a demand on you that trouble show up. Can't nothing show up but trouble, because that's what you are believing for. Worrying is opposite of faith. That's what you're believing for. These are mind issues. These are not spirit issues. These are mind issues that we need to fix. You train your soul to worry. And after many years of doing that, your soul is on automatic pilot. So it doesn't matter what you filter through your soul. As soon as something is presented to your soul or mentioned to you, you found a reason to worry about it. I want you to watch yourself. I'll give you some examples just in case. You may not understand, because some of you are master worriers. Like, I've seen women pray for a husband or a man pray for a wife, then they get married, and then they worry if they really love him. Can y'all relate? We find reasons to worry. If you get a bill paid, if you get something done, then you don't ever thank God. You thank God, and at the same time, you're trying to figure out, well, I wonder how long this is going to last. See, that's a part of worrying. I had to retrain my mind, because it's so detrimental to your faith. It is so automatic that we don't even realize that it's challenging your faith. Because we'll put worry right in there. As soon as, no matter what good happens, we got a negative behind it. See, this type of worry trick itself into your life. All right, turn to Luke. Are you learning? As long as you're learning, I'm going to keep teaching. Hallelujah. Look at Luke 22. And let's look at verse 40. See, because I learned some time ago that when you're being tempted, it's just a mind issue. And he said, and when he was at the place, he said unto them, pray. Somebody say, pray. See, when you're being challenged, you don't always have to fall on your knees, but you should be able to automatically pray. You can be standing right in the grocery store and begin to pray in tongues. You ain't got to go, You ain't got to let everybody know you're doing it. But you can pray in tongues right there on the spot and get answers from God. He says, pray that you don't enter into temptation. What? The temptation to worry. The temptation to fear, to doubt, to disbelieve God. Jesus said that this only comes out through praying and fasting. You got to bring your flesh under subjection. Make your mind shut itself down and fast. That's how you're going to start getting rid of unbelief. Put it on a fast. Turn off all the negative stuff that you've been watching. And turn your whole attention to the Word of God and watch things begin to change. See, because praying in the Holy Ghost, according to Jude chapter 1, verse 20, you had to turn there. Praying in tongues, keep your mind alert to the truth. You're building you up. You, the spirit man, is being built up. And he's going to get, the more you do that, the sharper he becomes. The easier it is to hear the voice of God on the inside. And he can say, go right or go left. and you can follow direction. And your spirit man begin to develop and get strong. And now he can say to the mind, look, we need to go left. Jesus said, go left. The word says, go left. Don't go right, go left. And the soul can respond easier by saying, okay, I hear you. I'll obey. Then the soul talks to the body. We're going left. We're not going right. We're going left because that's what God said. Go left. See, all of your systems are supposed to work together and flow with God. Not supposed to have all this resistance that God has gotten from the body of Christ. And the reason we got so much resistance because the mind not renewed to how God operates. The devil is after the word that you hear in service to service week after week, and you got to know that. When you hear a message like this, this word is going to be challenged. What are you going to do about it? Because you're going to be tempted to go home and not do nothing until you come back on Wednesday, hear Pastor DJ teach, and then I come back in next Sunday. You may never, but you need to pick up this word and look at it. You need to go back to every scripture that I've given you because you're retraining your mind. You know, I don't understand people. You're sitting in this classroom, but you're studying somebody else's lesson. You're going to fail the test in this classroom. How many of y'all ever had to take algebra? If you didn't study algebra at home, you're going to fail it in the classroom. Is that the teacher's fault that you didn't learn it? No. It's because you wouldn't go home and study algebra. Are y'all learning? Hallelujah. See, the word you hear from week to week is going to be challenged. The devil he's coming after that word. He's coming after the word of faith. This word of faith is designed to reset your mind. And he does not want your mind reset. Ooh, Jesus. So unless you decide to take this word and develop your soul, don't let it go home and put it in your notes and you got all notes and then you go put it down for the next 6-7 months before you, ooh, do you remember when Pastor Diana taught that? That was so good. And you still not renewed. Because see, what I'm sharing with you, God gave it to me. Now, he put it in a palate where you can digest it and you go home and eat it and let it become what you need in your environment so God can talk to you about what you heard today. See, anytime you decide to take the word and you don't develop your soul, it will become wasted seed. It's thrown by the wayside. And the birds will devour it. The circumstances of life would overtake that word because you're not deciding to develop it in your soul. The word is the only thing that is designed to cause faith to come. And we got to stop making something else our faith foundation. The word is your faith foundation. Faith comes by hearing and hearing the word. Because the word is full of faith. Getting ready to close in just a few minutes. So the devil is trying to get you dull of hearing the word. Now dull means lacking interest or expectation. Weary, to decrease in value. So the devil is working overtime trying to get us to decrease the value of the word so that we won't attend to the word. If you're not careful, when you get up in the morning, the first thing you reach for is the phone and not your word. And you go straight to Instagram or Facebook, Twitter, whatever y'all do, TikTok, junk talk, whatever you look at. That'll be your first impulse and not the word. Technology is good, but you need to lay aside technology for the sake of this word. When I'm studying, I try as little as possible to use my iPad. I go back to my paper, my Bible, and I research. You know why? Because it keeps me hungry. You know why? Because it keeps me learning. It don't make me lazy. You can get lazy studying because you can hit a button and it'll look up all the scriptures on faith. That don't mean you have absorbed that. But when you search for the word, he said, when you search for me with your whole heart, you'll find me. When you get hungry for the word, you will be filled. Hallelujah. We'll pick it up there next Sunday. Because the devil trying to get us dull of this word, of hearing this word, so that the manifestation that is designed to be in our lives, we'll never experience them. We know they're there, and we're supposed to have them, because most Christians know that they're supposed to have some benefits of being a Christian. But how many of us are experiencing the benefits? But it takes mind renewal. You wouldn't give your six-year-old child a car to drive, would you? Well, what makes you think God gonna give you a truckload of money and he can't get you to study the word at least 3 days a week? See, that's out of balance. We don't like to hear that, but it's the reality. That's the way God operates. And then we'll blame God for something not happening when we won't attend to the word concerning that situation. You got health issues? Attend to the word. Overcome. Don't let the devil tell you, I don't care how you feel. I don't care how many pains you're having. I don't care what the diagnosis and the prognosis is. That mess is not greater than this word. The word is able to overcome, and it already has. Overcome every sickness, every money shortage. The word has already overcome it. I live from a place of victory because I know it's already done. And I'll never challenge that again. Now, when, I don't care. I just know it will. You hear the difference? And I'll just keep right on developing so that when the money show up, God got somebody he can work through that won't go crazy when the money show up. Because the money is coming to the body of Christ. We need to get our minds renewed. I don't want anybody in this room left out. Because money is coming. And it's not going to be just a little chump change, no. God has to give us the money. Why? Because we got to turn this thing around so Jesus can come. He said, I'm coming back for a glorious church. One that is already conquering. Not one that's on your march, get set, ready, almost ready to go. No, he's coming back for a victorious church that already learned how to overthrow the adversary in their personal life. And everything they do. You know, when I go out, people that know me on a regular basis, they say, don't forget to pray for me. I said, come here, let me pray for you now. And then sometimes, you know, you can tell they're a little shy or whatever. I said, girl, you want this prayer or not? I said, because I know how to make this word work. Yes, ma'am. Okay, then bow your head. Let's pray. That's what I'm talking about. See, you can't be ashamed. If you're ashamed of the word, Jesus said, I'll be ashamed of you before the Father and the angels. Ain't nothing in this world to me is worth missing God. I want my mind so clear, so sharp, that if God says, I'm coming today, I'm ready. If the trumpet sounded today, oh, hallelujah, that would be good. Are you ready? Are you ready? Can your mind help you go there? Oh, yeah, we got some work to do. But it's okay. We're going to get it straight. Amen. Come on, stand to your feet. Because Jesus is soon to come back. All I'm trying to do is prep you. He's soon to come back. Lay aside all the childish stuff. It's just not worth it anymore. Am I saying don't have fun? That is not what I'm saying. Please don't misunderstand that. God loves for us to have fun. But at some point, you got to go to work. You can't vacation 365 days a year. You have to work before you go on vacation. Y'all got it? All right.